We are 20 weeks open with no COVID. Yeah, I just want to take a moment and just thank God. I really believe God's grace has been upon us, and so let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your protection. We thank you for how you've cared for this congregation, and we give you all the praise and the glory. Lord, you have protected us. You have kept us through this, and we just thank you so much. We ask, Lord, for you to remove this plague from our land. Lord, we seek you. We seek your face, Lord. We just ask that you would give solutions and you'd continue to protect us as we go forward and we worship you and we minister to others. We also ask, Lord, that you'd bring back those in our congregation that have not yet returned. We miss them. So, Lord, we pray that you'd strengthen them up and speak into their hearts and give them confirmation when it's time to return. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I wanted to say that Sunday nights has always been, from the very time we started Sunday nights, it's always been about raising up ministers. That's what the whole concept was when we started Sunday night services. And so Gerardo is preaching tonight, and you're going to start seeing Gerardo more. Come on up, Gerardo. Gerardo has been filling in for me when I'm gone on trips and missions and things like that. But now that I'm not going as much and I'm here, I'm like, man, how am I going to get Gerardo time in the pulpit or at the music stand? And so I asked him, I said, Gerardo, would you be willing to just start preaching more? And I'll get to sit and listen and get fed, and he'll be here. So we're going to try to get him in at least once a month, depending on his work schedule, and we're all going to get blessed. And yeah, thanks, Gerardo, for being here and preaching for us today, teaching us.
Did you do this, like, to make fun of the Latino size, or no? Just wondering. We are sure, but we're not that sure. Okay.
You don't like the table?
No, that's cool. It was really low. I'm not that sure. All right, let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, because you are good and you allow us to come here, be together as a body, and learn from your word. Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to hear you. We want to hear your word. We want to hear your voice in our hearts. Change what needs to be changed. Learn from you, Lord. Please be with us and speak through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take, I think we are in chapter 21, that's where we're going to start it today. I think that we're going to do the whole chapter today. But before we go in the chapter, we're going to make a, we're going to go back a little bit so we can go back and be all at the same page. After David killed the giant, he started getting the approval of the people, even of the approval of Saul. Saul was happy with him, he took him in. But I don't know if you guys remember, when the people start making songs about David, that's when something clicked in Saul, and he wasn't very happy about him anymore. So he started growing jealousness and anger towards David, to the point that he tried to kill him many times. David in this trying to figure out, so what's going on with him, if this is going to keep going or not. He came up with an idea, bring Jonathan in. They came up with a plan, and depending on the answer of Saul is if David was going to run away or not. So Jonathan come back with the answer. He said, you got to get out of here. This is not good for you. And David took off. So that's where we are right now. We are starting the runaway or the running out. I'm not sure how you say that. Of David, okay? David is out. He's running for his life, okay? And this time I estimate about 4 years is what it's going to take David running away from Saul, okay? So that's where we are, chapter 21. We're going to read from verse 1 and 2 only to start. It goes like this. Then David came to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech came to meet David, trembling, and said to him, why are you alone and no one with you? And David said to Ahimelech, the priest, "The king has charged me with a matter and said to me, 'Let no one know anything of the matter about which I send you and with which I had charged you. I had made an appointment with young men for such and such a place.'" Okay, so David goes to Nob. What was Nob? Or where was Nob? I was going to have a map, but things happened during the day and I couldn't put it together. But Nob wasn't too far from where he was before. It was about 2 miles, maybe. Other people go as far as 12 miles. And the reason is because we don't really know where Nob was exactly. They haven't find the, you know, they haven't dig and find anything to tell us that's exactly where it was. So it go between 2 miles to 12 miles from Gibeah. That's where they were before. 2 miles is not too far. It's from here to Chick-fil-A down here, down Tustin. And 12 miles is not too far to the other Chick-fil-A, but not very far. Chick-fil-A's are my points of reference, so that's what I can tell you. So, but either way is, you know, you can walk to those 2 points during the day. So it wasn't too far. We can see that it was pit stop. You know, it was something to stop there, grab what you need to keep going to a longer journey. That's what he was doing. And he go to Ahimelech. Ahimelech was a descendant of Eli. He was a priest, of course. And it tells us that he came to meet David trembling. This was weird to me. I always wondered why he was trembling. He didn't even know what David was coming in the first place, why he was already trembling. Well, we can start thinking about ideas. Maybe it was because the fact that somebody from the king's court was coming, maybe that will, you know, put you in a, I don't know, maybe he was nervous. What was going on? Did we do something wrong or something happened in there? We also know that David was the anointed to be king, so that was a big deal too. And the fact that maybe that David was coming by himself, that also made him think something is wrong, something is weird, this is not right. The truth is that we don't know why, but it's there. I was just trying to, you know, like just run my mind to try to understand why he came out trembling. And we see here David in a very different way that we haven't seen him before. We knew that he was a great musician. We knew that he was a great warrior. But I see David in this chapter as a good actor. I don't know if you guys are going to see that too. But for some reason, I see like, wow, this guy was a really artist. He started coming out with good action. He started acting very interestingly here. And he was a good actor, not just a, you know, average one. And he came out with a false history, a false story, a not truthful one. And probably was to protect Ahimelech, maybe. I want you to think what happened last week, okay? You remember last week he created this story to find information from Saul. You guys remember that story? Yeah? So he came out with this story and said, okay, this, it wasn't true either, but it have a good purpose, if you want to call it. It have a good intention, okay? So we're going to come out with this false story, and you're going to tell me what is the answer of the king. Now we have David coming out with another fake story, right? Maybe with good intentions to protect Ahimelech, maybe. And then we will see at the end of the chapter that he came out with a pretty interesting way to act, that it wasn't him. He was faking his identity too. So let me suggest this before we move on. There's two ways that he couldn't act in this way. He could keep saying the truth, or he could go this way. That this is the way that he decided to go. The interesting to me is that let me find myself in here. I got lost here. The interesting to me is that he learned later in the chapter 23 another way to act. And it wasn't this way. And you will see, I'm not going to get ahead because that's Dave's job right there. But you will see that David started asking questions to God. God, Lord, should I go against them? Should I do this? Should I stay here? Is he going to come around? And he started talking to God. He that's not what we see him doing here. At least it's not in here. So he had another way to act, but he decided to coming out with his own maybe ways to confront the situation, keep going ahead. Now, here's where I want to call your attention. We do need to be careful in certain habits that we start having in our life, or maybe cultivating in our life. We don't realize sometimes certain habits. We think that we have good intentions, or we are doing this for good reasons. But that could be very, we have to be careful, because that could turn to be something that is not good for you as a Christian, okay? Our ultimate goal is always the plan of the Lord, completely. Always from the Lord. All ideas are always going to be, they're not going to be the best. Let me call that. Maybe good, but not going to be the best. If you really want to have good decisions in your life, we have to be always grabbed from the Lord, always. We talked a couple of weeks ago how certain habits can grow, and you know, I don't know if you guys remember how, for instance, if you say a lie and you like it, and it work, most likely next week you're gonna say another lie because it works for you. If you one day you, especially young people, if you look at picture, not especially young people, all people, if you look at picture that is not a good picture, most likely that picture is gonna take you to watch a video next time. Because that's the way the sin works. That's the way the bad habits work. Okay? If you are gossiping at one person and it feels good, next week you're going to be gossiping about two or three or more, and it's going to turn into a habit. And it seems to me that David was getting wrapped up into this thing. Thankfully, we know that he got out of there, and we're going to talk about that at the end of the chapter. But we have to be careful with this kind of habits. Let's keep going from verse 3. Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread, or whatever is here. And the priest answered David, I have not common bread in hand, but there is holy bread. If the young men have kept themselves from women, and David answered the priest, truly women have been kept from us, as always when I go on an expedition. The vessels of the young men are holy, even when it's an ordinary journey. How much more today will their vessels be holy? So the priest gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread there but the bread of the presence, which is removed from before the Lord to be replaced by hot bread on the day it is taken away. This is really interesting, because we can see the stress and of David. At least that's the way that I saw it. And let me tell you why. Notice the question that he does. He said, let me go back to it. What do you have in hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread, or whatever is here. Think about the first part. What do you have in hand? That's a pretty open and a kind question, okay? What do you have in hand? It's like, oh, what do you have in there, right? But the next part is a little more pushy. It's like, give me 5 loaves of bread, right? It show more specific and clear, and even a little bit of urgency on it. And at the end, he's like, oh, whatever you have. You know what? Whatever you have, I take it. So he starts from a very kind way. He moved it to a little more clear and specific. And at the end, it's like, you know what? I just need whatever you have. And you can start seeing a little bit of a stress, a little bit of more fear to keep moving forward with this simple question. Now, what is all this situation about the bread? I'm not going to explain much, because the word of the Lord is going to explain it for us. So let's go to Leviticus 24. From verse 5 to 9, and we're going to be able to understand what was this tradition and commandment from the Lord about the bread. Let me look for my page here. Leviticus say, you shall take fine flour and bake 12 loaves from it, to 1/10 of an ephah shall be in each loaf, and you shall set them in 2 piles, 6 in a pile, on the table of pure gold before the Lord. And you shall put pure frankincense of each pile, that it may go with the bread as a memorial portion, as a food offering to the Lord. Every Sabbath day, Aaron shall arrange it before the Lord regularly. It is from the people of Israel as a covenant forever. And it shall be for Aaron and his son, and they shall eat it in a holy place, since it is from him a most holy portion out of the Lord's food offerings, a perpetual due. This is the commandment from the Lord. This is what they're supposed to do, and this was given to the priest. The only person that could eat that bread or do this were the priests, the descendant of Aaron, okay? So there was no way that David should have ate that bread. So what happened here? Why was okay for David to take this bread? Well, let's go to Matthew. Matthew 12, 1 through 8. This is the cool thing about the Word. This is the cool thing about your Bible, the Word of God, that you don't have to even listen to me. You just have to run through your Word, through His Word, and you will find explanations. So let's go to Matthew 12, 1 through 8. Why was okay that David ate this bread? So at the time Jesus went through the grain fields of the Sabbath, his disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than this temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." The Lord explaining what happened here. Jesus understood the necessity of men. He does understand your necessity, your human necessities, your human needs. He does those. And he put an emphasis, is emphasis a word in English? I just brought it up from my Spanish part of the brain. Emphasis? Yes? Okay. He bring attention. I'll do that often. Okay. When I don't know a word, I bring it from my Spanish part. It's like emphasis. I'm like, is that actually a word that we use here? He bring it and he say, "Have you not heard that mercy is buried than burnt offerings?" Mercy reflect the character of God. It glorified God and put him in a high position. When you do mercy to others, you are showing a part of God. You are doing that by showing mercy. Jesus understands too that the need of the man is more important or goes over the tradition as well. We can see that. And also we can see that there is a spirit in the Word that sometimes we and even them in the past, they fail to see. They will get to the Word, to the how literal it is, and they will fail to interpret the spirit of the law. So the Lord is talking about mercy here. Now, so the question for me was, when I was reading this, when did I know when it's okay not to, for me, when it's not to tithe or not to give offering, to give mercy or to show mercy to somebody else? That will be bringing that situation to me right now, today, okay? Because we don't do that anymore. But I had to be obedient to the Lord to give offering, to give tithes. But also, the Lord is calling me to do mercy. So what happened if I'm in between both of them? What should I do? Well, I think here's when we go back to the main point of our life as Christians. If we are not depending on the Lord, we are not going to be able to make a wise decision. To me, after I pray and thought about this, it's like, well, it's true. Like, I would never be able to make a good decision how to decide if I should do this or that if I'm not, you know, attached with the Lord, if I'm not walking with him, if I'm not praying, if I'm not reading his Bible, if I'm not looking for him every day. Why? Why is not going to be a good decision if I'm not doing that? Because I will start making decisions my own. I think that this is the way to go today. I think that I should do that. I think that this is the best. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to act according to what the Lord is calling us to do and what he wants us to do. If today you had to show mercy, show mercy, but because you are sure that the Lord is telling you to show mercy, okay? So the main point, I think, that of all this chapter is that he's calling us to always be dependent on the Lord, 100%. 100%. That means that there is no, you're not compromising your relationship with the Lord with anything, with anything. Let's move on to verse 7. "Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg the Edomite, the chief of Saul's herdsmen. Then David said to Ahimelech, Then have you not here a spear of a sword of hand at hand, I'm sorry, for I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath is the Philistine, who you struck down in the valley of Elah. Behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it, for there is none but that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it to me. Well, verse 7 is giving us information about something that's going to happen later. So we are not going to talk so much about that. But obviously we see that somebody was there, that in the rest of chapter 21 you won't hear much about it. Now, it's interesting how David, being a warrior, being in charge of people and Saul, in the kingdom of Saul, being a man that was always ready to go, he forgot his weapon. He forgot his sword. He forgot all his things. It's weird to me because it doesn't match with the story that he said. It doesn't make any sense. There was something wrong in here. He's coming in a mission and he forgot his weapons. Obviously, we can see that his lie has, so what?
Some holes in it.
Yeah, some holes on it. That's right. There is some stuff weird in here. The sword of Goliath was a trophy. Was something that was important for the Israel people. Was something important that will remind them what the Lord did for them. And it's really, I was hoping that as I keep going, it will click, you know, something in David to remind him what the Lord did for him. And that when he won that battle, it's because the Lord was with him. And he didn't have to fake anything. He didn't have to act weird or you know, trust in man. He just went with the Lord to confront this situation. Something that he was not doing in here right now, in this part. And then we see him coming here to the tabernacle, asking for food and something to protect himself. And this is really interesting to me too, because people didn't go to the tabernacle to do these kind of things, generally talking. They were going to find the Lord, to talk to the Lord, to relate with the Lord, to be in the presence of the Lord. So it's really interesting that he does that, because he's not doing that at all. He's not going over there looking for guidance. He's not looking for maybe even a word from the priest. He didn't go to do that. Now, I have to say that I believe that the church is made to do those kind of stuff. We can come to church. We can come to our church to find those kind of provisions that are going to help us for our human needs. There's no doubt of that. I've been blessed by the church doing that. But here's where we have to make the distinction again. We're being called first to come and look for the presence of the Lord. We're always going to get wrapped in this, okay? You can ask for help all what you want, and that's fine. The church will be here for you. But if you're not depending on the Lord first, then you're always going to have a problem with this kind of stuff. Because it's the Lord who's going to provide for you. It's not going to be the church. It's not going to be the pastor. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be your husband or your wife or your father or your mother. It's going to be the Lord who's going to be providing for you. So the first thing that we have to look for is for the Lord, for Jehovah, for the Creator. He is the one that's going to help you. And the rest is going to be added. That's the word of the Lord. That's what he said. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. So we can continue then. Verse 10. And David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servant of Achish sent to him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. And David took this word to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servant, behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Should this fellow come into my house? Wow. Here we see the old, you know, like he's improving his act, you know, his actor skills right here. He doesn't stay just to come up with good lies. Now he's acting it, right? This is David in all the glory of his artistic part. Gath, now he take a longer journey now. He's crossing pretty much from the east to the west. So this is the longer journey that he was taking, and that's why he probably need, you know, to a weapon just in case something happened, or bread for the journey. And we see him here in stress and fear, using untruthful stories, an attitude that we haven't seen from David before. Now he's just going like way to the other side now. He's just acting crazy. And interestingly, in his run, he doesn't find comfort or protection in his comfort area. He just go right into enemy's land, okay? Gath was one of the fifth Philistine city-states, okay? It was one of the major states. So he goes right into the enemy lands. And not just that, but he goes to the land where Goliath belonged to. So he's like in the middle of the wolf in there, okay? Interestingly, the servants remember the song and the dancing that they were doing, which is exactly the point where Saul, you know, turned his heart from David and start hating him now. David had two options here. He could act in two ways, and we talked a little bit that before. He could act truthful. He could say straightforward what he was there for. People knew him. People knew who he was, what he did before. His fame was all over the place, and he could act under the fear of God, which is what we knew him before for, and we will know him after too. Or he could have done what he did, which is, you know, show us his skills as an actor, showing you know, a totally different David that we didn't know that it wasn't him either. It's almost like he put a mask on him and he started acting like something that he was not. Because that was not David. You and me know that that wasn't David. He started acting somebody that wasn't. He humiliated himself. He started beating himself. He started acting gross too. And all because he's afraid of his enemies. He's afraid of the circumcised. Is that the way that you say it? Yeah. Uncircumcised, that's right. He's afraid of them. What happened with our David? What happened with our, you know, pretty looking, strong guy, David? What happened with him? That's what I was wondering, I was reading here. We had to consider in our life the decisions that we take. And we have also options, just like the way that David did. We can act under the fear of God, or we can act under the fear of man. And that's always an option that we have, okay? We are called to act, behave, move on through life under the fear of God, because he is over everything, right? The question is if we will do that. If when we don't do that, our problems can turn into a domino effect, because we think that we have good ideas, we think that we can have better solutions, so we act and we say a little lie or we do something wrong. And then maybe that works, so the next time we will do something else. But eventually that domino is going to fall over, and it's going to fall over. And that's what David is doing here. He started with a little lie, then he came up with another one, and now he's getting to the point where he's acting crazy. Now I was wondering, how is it possible that this David that I see here was a man conformed to the heart of God? How that makes sense? I don't see a man conformed to the God, to the heart of God. This David is not. Maybe the David that we saw before last week and the David that we'll see later. But this David was not conformed to the heart of God. But here's, because he wasn't perfect, right? We can see that he was not perfect by all this. But here's the interesting part of David. And this is where I want to challenge you and leave you with. And this was a challenge for me too. David was a man conformed to the heart of God because he was humble enough to realize when he messed up. And when he messed up, guess where he would go? Back to the Creator, back to the feet of his Creator. Back to humiliate himself before the Lord, not to men anymore. He will be sensitive enough to realize that he messed up. He would be humble enough to realize, you know what? I haven't been trusting in the Lord. I haven't been asking the Lord. My relationship with him has been weak. I need to go back to my Lord. And that attitude that he had, that you and me should have too, because you and me, we are not perfect either. But if we have that attitude, that's what's going to let us and it's going to help us to keep going through this life, making better decisions and acting conforming to the heart of God. But for that, we need to have a humble heart. And that is hard because pride is one of the biggest things in us. We don't like to, I know because I had that problem. I remember years ago, my wife told me, you know what your problem is? You have too much pride. And I was like, what? No way. I was like, oh, really? We are prideful people. We are. So when somebody tells us, you know what? Maybe you should check your heart, or the Lord is telling you, you know what? Maybe you should check your heart. What's your attitude be? David's attitude. Go to the feet of your Lord. Realize that you've been lying. Realize that you've been sinning. Realize that and accept the fact that you've been not acting conforming what God wants you to do and to be. So I'm going to leave you with that. I'm going to stop there. I think that that's chapter 12, if I'm not wrong. So let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, because you're good and you always give us an opportunity to come back to you. Lord, we realize that we are not perfect. We realize, Lord, that we have a problem. But we also are thankful because we have you. Because we have you to keep going through this life. We have you to help us to deal with these issues. We have you to find forgiveness. Find what we were made for. You help us, Lord, to keep going to our goal, to come back from our wrongs. And I pray, Lord, that you can help us, Lord, to be people conformed to the heart, to your heart. Help us, Lord, to be humble, to recognize our mistakes, ask for forgiveness, and come back to the road to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Gerardo. You know, there is a problem. You went too short. And now when I do my sermon, everybody's going to, you know. No, in all seriousness, I love that story as David goes into secret agent man. So I love how Achish goes, have I not enough crazy men in my household? Like, you got to wonder how many crazy men Achish has in his household. But in all seriousness, I want to close with a passage from Psalm 34. And maybe when you go home, you can just meditate on that psalm, because it's a psalm that David writes during this time when he's on the run and acting like a madman. And one of my favorite two verses from this psalm is, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And I'll tell you, you can't imagine what kind of mindset David must have been in, on the run for his life, acting like a crazy man. But as he writes this psalm and he's going to leave Gath, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. If you have a broken heart, you cast those cares upon the Lord. You look to him. God will meet you there and he will bless you. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Amen.